Gloria Schmitz on a phone line. She was representing the brothers in the Smollett case. I'm going to get the names right if I can here. Abel and Ola Osundari.
Osundairo.
It's Gloria Schmidt. Gloria, John Williams, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thanks for having me.
I've been saying you represented them, but you no longer represent them. What's happened with that?
You know, I think people get very confused about that in our state here. Every representation that we have starts with an agreement, a written agreement. And once the case is over, the case is over. It's a self-executing document. I had diaried in my planner to attend court April 17th. There were some loose ends that we were going to complete on that date and then obviously stand ready for trial whenever that came about. So with the abrupt ending of the case, so did my representation, because we have no need to go to court on April 17th.
I see. So no reason to read anything into that. There was no falling out. It's simply that you are no longer on hire for them because the case is over.
Exactly. I'm quite surprised at how nefarious people think this is.
Well,
but I'll give you a really good example. In Illinois, in our jurisdiction here, if you have a family case like a divorce, 30 days after, the relationship is over. We are considered case closed with your attorney. So that's just kind of how we do things here. Nothing more to read into that. I speak to the brothers every day. I spoke to them this morning.
Okay, well then do me this favor. No, yeah, I won't read any more into that. I'm glad we cleared that up, though. But so Abel and Ola, the brothers, what did they say happened that night?
Well, John, I don't think we have enough time to go into that answer. But what I can tell you is this. They were asked to do something by a friend, someone they considered a friend. They put their trust in this person who took advantage of them. And when their integrity and their character got called out onto the carpet, they did what they had to do. They did the right thing. They told the truth.
Okay, so what you're saying...
And as I said, from day one, they cooperated. They fully cooperated. They went to the grand jury. They were ready and willing. Nothing changed. Nothing between then and now has changed with my client, with my former client.
That's interesting, because the speculation was one of the reasons the state's attorney's office dropped the case was because maybe the witnesses were no longer so cooperative. That happens. But they would have testified, and their story hadn't changed, and they would have testified against Jesse's version of events. Is that correct?
That is 100% correct.
Okay, now I want to play for you what Jesse Smollett's attorney said to us yesterday. Ron Safer was on, and when we asked him what happened that night, January 29th, this is what he said.
I mean, what happened is he was beaten, period.
So he was the victim of the hate crime as described, the bleach, the noose, the homophobic slur, the weird MAGA shout, all of that happened that night at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It happened.
And do you believe that the two brothers are the ones that did it?
They confessed to it. He doesn't know.
Is that true? Did they confess to it?
Well, I think the premise of your question is, did they confess to something that's illegal? Helping out your friend, staging a phony attack is not illegal. So I don't think the confessing word is appropriate. But did they tell the police we were hired to do this and we carried out the plan as we were asked to? Absolutely. Did they commit a hate crime? No. Have they ever been... it never got to that point for them to get arrested.
Why did Jesse ask them to do that?
You know, that's a great question for Jesse. I would love to know.
Okay, I want to play for you the second part of that series of questions when we were visiting with Smollett's attorney. This is, again, Ron Safer.
He knows them, yes.
And did he recognize...
people were wearing masks.
They were wearing masks, so he didn't recognize them beyond those masks?
He did not. It all happened extraordinarily quickly.
Jesse certain that it was them?
No. He's not certain at all.
All Jesse knows is that he was attacked. He doesn't know that it was the brothers.
Exactly.
Okay, now that's their version of events, but I'm hearing you to say, oh, Jesse know darn good and well who it was. He hired them to do that. So, and again, not to do a hate crime, but to play act a hate crime. You'll draw that distinction. But that's his attorney saying Jussie didn't know who it is.
Yeah, I can pinpoint to a piece in the timeline that I'll let the police detail at a later date how untrue that assertion is from Mr. Smollett's attorneys.
You know, if the brothers decided to cooperate, are you going to share with us what that point in the timeline is? What's this trigger point that's going to reveal the truth? Will you share that with me now?
Well, the issue with it is that the person who has personal knowledge of that is one of the detectives who I had spoken to. So at this point, I don't have permission to disclose that from him.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? The detective wasn't there. Presumably, there were three people there, Jussie and the brothers, who were play-acting this hate crime. What does some other detective I don't know about have to do with that?
No. Remember, they had Jussie in Area Central for questioning.
Yeah.
So if the question is, did he know it was these guys, he absolutely knew it was them.
And
absolutely.
And he confessed that to this detective. That's what you're saying.
I'm saying that there is some information that the police, I mean, again, what the media has seen and what's been disclosed was just a tiny piece of the evidence.
That's not
the whole story. It really isn't. And if Jussie really wanted the whole story to come out, then he should have let his day in court come.
I wonder what you make of the sealing of all of the records in this case.
So I actually have gotten conflicting reports about that. I was told at first that what is being sealed is just his arrest record. And then I was told that the entire case was being expunged.
That's what we're operating on now. I want to let one of our listeners ask a question. Mike, what was your question? You're on WGN.
Hi. I'm just curious about the check that Smollett wrote to the brothers for personal training on the memo. Did they ever do any personal training for him?
Hi, Mike. Great question. So, yeah, they did. And the big thing to take away from this is that, you know, if you're going to commit a crime, you're not going to write the crime on the memo line of your check.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would hope that you don't.
Okay, but then, so the $3,000 was not for personal training. It was for the commission of this fraudulent act. Is that correct?
You know what? It was really for both. It really was. The issue of them getting paid for training came about prior to the attack and being requested to participate in the phony attack. The payment itself came about, like the actual handing of the check came about once he asked them for the favor.
I know that I'm being told you're out of time and I'm out of time. So as I let you go, is there any last thing you want our listeners to hear? Gloria Schmidt, who represented the brothers in the Smollett case, any last thing you want us to know?
I just want to thank them for their patience with this story and to keep an open mind.
We'll visit again, Gloria. Thanks for your time today.
My pleasure, John. My pleasure.
Have a good day.